Probably one of the most mysterious realities in our world is water. You know, St. Teresa of Avila never got enough of just sitting beside water and running her fingers through it. She just was so fascinated by it. And you may remember Anne in her description of heaven, how often, you know, she would just be thrilled with the sound, the sight, the texture, the movement, the touch of water. It's one of the reasons why our Lord uses this symbol so often. And in a text which draws on this text from Ezekiel, which we read today from Ezekiel 47, he identifies himself with the temple. Out of his midst shall flow rivers of living water. Out of the side of Jesus, who is the new temple. As he said himself, right? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And so, as we move now in this fourth week of Lent, we're being invited. We've heard a lot about repenting for our sins, forgiving one another, being restrained in our intake of food, comfort, pleasure, whatever, because we need that. That's the sort of the foundation. Without a life of self-indulgence will never lead to union with God. Now we're beginning to move into an instruction as to what is this mystery of redemption. So we have this text today. First, we see in the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda, you see, it's the word of the Lord, rise, take up your mat and go. As in John's Gospel, this is a turning point, because now we have this opposition of the Jews on the basis of the Sabbath. And it'll come back again, all of this, in chapter 7, in between 5 where we are, and 7 there's 6, right? And 6 is the Eucharist. We'll hear all about that after Easter. In this text of Ezekiel, there is this prophecy about the temple, the source of God's presence, the place of blessing, the place of prayer. What Ezekiel sees here is the new temple. There's no temple when he's writing this. There's going to be a new temple. In fact, he spends many chapters describing exactly its size, its shape, its measurement, and so forth. Now he's starting to talk about this, you see, what we would call the eschatological temple, the temple of the future. And he's describing it as a prophet and as a poet. Turns out to be Jesus. Turns out to be the body of Jesus, ourselves. But what flows from this temple is water. And so you just heard the description. First, he could wade in it, then he could get through, and finally, it's too much. And these waters are healing. Healing. They flow into the Dead Sea and make it fresh water, where there are fish and all sorts of things. And along the sides of this river, there are trees. And these trees bear fruit every month. And their leaves are for healing. This is the water. The water of the Holy Spirit. One of the most beautiful images of the Holy Spirit is precisely water. You know, if you would ask, we had this text on a Sunday recently, if you knew who was asking you for a drink of water, you would have asked of him and he would give you living water. Moving water, but not just moving water, living water. We have to be so grateful to God that he gives us all these symbols, all these images, all these, to try to teach us about divine reality. And so we have this text of this water coming from Jesus, who is the temple, who is the place of God's presence. The eschatological temple, the temple of the end times, which is our times, is not another building. It's the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ. Fed, nourished, given shape, consistency, because of the physical body of Jesus himself, now risen from the dead and glorious. And so the people who are getting ready for baptism are being initiated into this mystery of water. They will be baptized in water and baptized in the Spirit, of which the water is a symbol. And when that's done well, when the preparation is done well, it's expected that they will receive all their gifts. Many will start to pray in tongues just at that moment. I've seen this often. Somebody be baptized and begin to pray in tongues right away. Normal. That's normal. If someone's mind is filled with expectation, someone understands what they're doing, if someone really commits themselves and turns from sin and really dies to self, and then they receive this water, and Christ Jesus acts and bathes them, plunges them into his Holy Spirit, what would you expect? The gifts. The divine life, and then the outflowing of that life in gifts that build the body, the temple. We'd expect that. And it's starting to happen more and more, you know. Because people are beginning to enter more into the mystery of what we're doing. Oh, they're joining the church. Yes, they're joining the church. They are being baptized into the water of the Holy Spirit. And that's all in this lovely little text we have in the Gospel today. In chapter 5, as I say, there'll be resonances of this miracle in several places in the Gospel. It's a feast day, and Jesus goes up. For those of you who have been there, you know what this looks like. It's a five-sided pool, but that doesn't mean it's a pentagon. It's a great big long rectangle, and right through the middle there's another portico. That's where the fifth side comes from. It's right there, you can see it. And it was a place of healing. It may have even been a pagan place of healing. And when the water stirred, nobody knows quite why. People, I'll be healed. So they're all waiting there to get healed. When you're sick, and you have no insurance, and you have no doctors, you'll go anywhere to get healed. So there they are. And who comes to replace all that? Jesus. Jesus comes. And it's not this pagan water. It's the Word of Christ. And that Word of Christ gives power to the baptismal water, as it does to this bread and wine. St. Augustine has this lovely phrase, accedit verbum ad elementum et fit sacramentum. The Word comes to the element, and there is a sacrament. But the Word that comes to the element is not just, I baptize you in the name of the Father and so forth, which is very important. It's the whole Gospel that comes to that water. That's the Word, summed up in that phrase. It's the whole Gospel that comes. And that Gospel, that good news, that death and resurrection of Jesus, that love for the whole human race, that's what comes to that water, et fit sacramentum. And then there is a sacrament. It's the same at Mass. Accedit verbum. This is my body. This is my blood. Ad elementum. Et fit sacramentum. And insofar as in our faith we ratify that verbum of Jesus at this sacrament, there is this reality. It's always here. But how far can we enter into it? What is the atmosphere of faith in which we celebrate this every morning? Are we listening to the prayers? Or are our mind all over the place? Poor, fragile little minds. And so is why we have all this, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Yeah, we've lifted them up to the Lord. Well, keep them lifted up now. Okay, now we're ready. Let us give thanks to the Lord. That's the right thing to do. You see? And so we're moving now, and we'll start to have all this instruction, and along with it, an instruction into the real structure of the passion, the evil, malevolent darkness, and the work of the divine Trinity. And that's why, as we notice, as we go through, there'll be more and more readings from the fourth gospel. Because that's where we learn instruction. So we've learned a lot about how to live as Christians. Now we're going to start to learn a lot about the mystery of the passion. And finally, along with all of this, as we've already seen, is intimations into the very heart of Jesus himself, the suffering just man. That'll be in Jeremiah, in the Psalms. And that's the mystery of this whole season, to prepare us for the grace of Easter.